Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
Well, can you get up off the couch and go run a 5K, a 3K, a 10K, maybe even a half marathon? Do you think you can do it? Well, I'm certain that you can. We've got some great tips here from our guest, Jim White. He's registered dietitian. Welcome to the show, Jim. Let's talk about couch to 5K. How do we do it? What's the first thing we do?
Hey, Melanie. Thanks for having me. You know, I've counseled many, many people, a lot of elite runners in the United States, to beginners that just go to couch to 5K. And I believe that it begins before running. It begins just with your pair of shoes. You know, we take an average of 2,000 steps per mile, and in 20 miles, 40,000 steps. So just think about that. Shoes are vitally important.
Okay, so we want to go get our good shoes. That's the first thing that we would want to do, making sure we get a decent pair of running shoes, even if we're starting out walking, because running shoes are more, you know, supportive, better shoes. So go to somewhere you trust, go to somewhere that looks at your feet, sees if you pronate, get a pair of shoes. What's next?
Absolutely. You know, the simple thing is running apparel. Our body temperatures go up around 10 to 20 degrees, so we got to dress appropriately, not too hot, not too cold. When it's cold, you dress in layers so we can take it off. So it's important to have the proper running apparel. Also, there's a lot of different devices out there, such as the Garmin, which is a great device for runners beginning. It tells your pace. It tells your heart rate. And even your elevation. So it's very important to have some of these devices, and it can make it really great for your run. And I think another thing that's important is, just like we keep a food journal for nutrition, keep a running journal. Write down how many miles you run a week. Write down, if you're walking and running, write down the distance. And I think it's going to keep you on track and keep you consistent during your run.
I love journaling. I am a big, huge fan of journaling, whether you're doing it to lose weight or whether you're doing it for your exercise, because it keeps track of things for you and keeps you accountable to yourself for what you're doing. So how do you become somebody that runs, Jim? I myself am a walker. I'm a long-distance walker. I can walk forever. But running, I start to feel my knees. I'm not a runner. What if you're that person and you start to run and you start to get out of breath? Most people, that's when they stop.
That's right. I always
and
say
they
the
walk.
Hardest
so what do you
part
do then?
Is just starting. You know, getting out of bed and just starting. But, you know, there's a lot of different people. And you're definitely a walker and probably a walker runner. So really assess your fitness level. So if you're a walker, maybe try to go from walking to jogging intervals. And they could be timed intervals, or you could do it instinctively. You know, start walking, and if you feel tired, or you feel a lot of energy, start running. When you feel tired, then start walking again. So that's the first step. Now, if you're a jogger and you want to pick up the pace, you know, that's why some of these tools are really good to assess your rate, assess your progress. So what I recommend is start with baby steps and then to move on. You know, it's also important to start up with a warm-up. A lot of people will just get up and they'll just start running fast, and then they get out of breath. So pace yourself. Start up with a warm-up. It's going to increase the muscle temperature. It's going to decrease the risk of injuries. And also, you want to stretch. You want to do some dynamic stretching before your runs, just to make sure, you know, because injury is a big thing when it comes to running. Keeping consistent is really important. I see a lot of people where they have their time really and work gets in the place. So they might run or walk good for a week. Next week, they don't do anything. So stay consistent on. If you miss a workout, you know, don't freak out. I would really, you know, try to make it out the next time. You know, this is, you know, exercise is a great way, and running is a great way to decrease stress, to increase energy, to increase mood, you know, and you really want to use it as medicine too. And I think that's when it's going to keep people motivating in the long run.
Well, certainly that's true. And we know that exercise is medicine. And there's also something to the fact that by doing this, maybe you're running a 5K for a charity. Maybe you're doing it for your local school system or for, you know, the local park district or for anything that kind of gets you involved in the community. There is that, isn't there, Jim? There's just that little part that running a 5K, being involved in one of these events, even if it's a 3K, gets you out and gets you active, gets you involved in something.
Yeah, Melanie, it's so true. I see a lot of runners when it's funny, after the race, people just have this bond, have this accomplishment. They finish the finish line, whether it's a 5K, 8K, half marathon, it's an accomplishment. You work so hard for it, and it's a natural high. That's why they call it the runner's high. So you're right, whether it's for a charity, whether it's for a socialism, whether it's for just, you know, accomplishing a goal, you know, I think that we should make the goal finishing the race and accomplishing the race. You know, after your first one, then you can set some really detailed goals. But you're right, it definitely gets your energy up, and it's quite an accomplishment.
It is. It's kind of fun. You know, I've done a few of these different events, and it is fun. It's also a little bit of camaraderie, and like you say, the most important thing is to finish. Even if you have to walk a little bit of it, it's good to finish. Do you think that by having a goal, one of these events, that that's what gets you motivated to do it, and how long in advance do we need to train?
I think it depends on your fitness level. You know, of course, if we're talking marathons, that we need a good 12 weeks strong and have a strong base to accomplish something like that. But if you're going from a couch potato to 5K, you know, you could, a good 2 months would be a strong start, and that is someone just walking. And again, I think that number one goal, finishing the race, and then setting some mild accomplishments, a mile, because if you don't have a personal best, you need to start with a base. So once you finish that first race, then you can start making a little bit more lofty goals and challenge yourself even more. It's quite motivating, especially once you start running and finishing these races with good times.
Well, I think that's true. It is quite motivating. You never know, you might even lose weight in the process. What about day of the event? You're a registered dietitian. What do we do day before? Is there anything? I mean, these are not huge events, 3Ks, 5Ks, 10Ks, but even that event requires a little special nutrition. What should we do that day? What do we eat for breakfast?
Yes, good question. And I see what a lot of people do is gorge on carbohydrates the night before. Now, if we were talking about a marathon or some of these events where you need an ample amount of fuel, yes, you want to increase your carbohydrates, but you don't want to decrease too much. What I would do is 3 days before the event, increase carbohydrates by about 10 to 15%. That way you're going to have enough energy, you're not going to hit a wall, and it's going to give you enough energy, enough confidence in your food to accomplish that race in good time. And another thing is water. Water is vitally important. Making sure you're consuming 64 ounces a day, and then for every pound of sweat that you lose, you want to drink another 16 ounces to, of course, combat that. And then getting a good amount of protein and a good amount of fat is also important to fuel your race.
Well, you don't want to eat too much and get sick to your stomach either, though, do you?
No, absolutely. I see a lot of people do that, and they get GI distress.
They
do. And, of course, right before your race. Now, this is a personal experience. What I would do is test some foods, maybe on some practice runs before your race. You never want to see a lot of runners try different foods, and they experiment with different foods before, and they get GI distress, and it can really affect them. So, you know, maybe start with something light. It could be a slice of whole wheat bread with some peanut butter and a half a banana, or it could be a yogurt and a piece of fruit. So see what works with your stomach. Some people can eat 20 minutes before a race, and some people need to wait around 2 hours before a race. So it's a personal response, and you want to test it, not on race day.
So best advice, 30 seconds, Jim, from couch to 5K.
Well, I say get a good pair of running shoes. Very important. Also, run your own race. Don't compare it to other people. Just stick with your time, stick with your goals, and go from there. Nutrition is vital. Don't skip on carbohydrates. You see a lot of people going on low-carbohydrate diets now. Make sure you get carbohydrates to fuel your workout. You know, practice makes perfect. Stay consistent. Keep it fun. And you're going to accomplish a great accomplishment on your 5K.
Thank you so much, Jim White. You're listening to Train Your Body, Motivate, and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine right here on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening. Stay well.